Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. We are looking at an amazing time in the future where the Lord will be magnified and glorified and honored. They'll also be dealing with some things that for right now he's long-suffering, but that long-suffering will turn to judgment one day. And we're going to look at some things by the grace of God today in Revelation 19, beginning in verse number 1, but let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. I ask for your blessing on it as we open our Bibles this morning to read your word, that you'd open our hearts to the truth and give us something to draw us closer to you and to help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 19. And we know that in Revelation chapter number 1, 2, and 3, God's talking about churches, 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 churches. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. John, a type of the church, the beloved, is caught up into the third heaven. He's caught up in the sees throne. And then the church is not mentioned anymore. We get over here to chapter 19. It starts talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. So between chapter number 4 and chapter number 19, we are dealing with that time of Jacob's troubles, Daniel's 70th week, and especially that last 3.5 years of that 7-year period being the time of great tribulation. And here we are wrapping that up in chapter number 19 of Revelation. And it says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his saints, and avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that fly in the midst of heaven. Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that set on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on a horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, with which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowl were filled with their flesh. What a mighty passage from the Word of God as we see that future battle of Armageddon here. And we understand that Jesus Christ is not waiting to win. He has already won. He is already victorious. That victory over death, hell, and the grave, that victory over sin, and that sin payment, that payment that he made on Calvary with that crown on his brow, that crown of thorns and the piercings in his hand and his feet and his side and his heart, where he took the curse of the world upon himself. And as we look back through this passage in chapter number 19, in verse number 1 it says, "After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." We see the glory of the Lord. His glory is above anything you could imagine. The most beautiful sunset, the most beautiful sunrise, the most beautiful night sky with the stars glistening and glimmering. His glory is far beyond any of these things. And, you know, we see He has glorified the Father. The Father's glorified Him. The Father's given Him a name above every name. The Father's made the earth His footstool. The glory of the Lord. Look at verse 2 and 3. "For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His saint, servants at her hand. And again they say, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever." We see the glory of the Lord in verse 1. Verse 2 and 3, we see the judgments of the Lord. The judgment of the Lord, He judges that great whore, that system, that Babylonian system that's being carried through Rome by the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church at this point, and it's has tentacles into all denominations and all over the world into different religious belief systems. And that judgment by the Lord is coming. That great whore will be judged. That Babylonian system will be brought to an end. All the pagan and heathen, ungodly traditions and systems will be brought to a halt and ended by Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord, the judgment by the Lord. Verse 4 says, "And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." We see the worshiping of the Lord. I mean, here we are today in this flesh, and we get together to brag on Jesus Christ. We get together to break open the Word of God and to get in the Word of God, let the Word of God get in us and change us, hopefully, for His honor and for His glory. And we approach a time where we make a feeble attempt to worship. I mean, we'll get excited. We know we're saved, we're sealed, we're set apart. We're born again. We're born into the family of God. We know heaven will be our home. These things that are written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. We know where we're going. We know whom we have believed. We know that He's able to keep that which we have committed against Him. We know that He's keeping our salvation. We know heaven will be our home. We know we have an eternity that doesn't involve flames and eternal torments. We understand that. And boy, every once in a while, we get excited and we'll work up an amen. Amen. Or maybe even a amen. But one of these days, friend, we're going to hear the tone, the sound, the cadence, the rhythm. We're going to hear perfect worship. It says, as a great multitude, and as the sound, as the voice of many waters, and then the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The best we can do in this flesh is not even scratch the surface of what we will hear one day and what we'll be a part of one day when we praise and honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what He has given us. Listen, for what He has given us, not that we've earned it, not that we deserve it, because it's all mercy and grace, and it's all because of His righteousness. It's because of His shed blood, because of His suffering, because of His worthiness, and because at salvation He imputed His righteousness to us. Praise God. Thank God for imputation. Thank God for the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is the only reason we can be seen worthy to enter into the presence of God Almighty. The glory of the Lamb, the judgment by the Lord, the worshiping of the Lord. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now we see the marriage of the Lamb. Praise God, we are His bride. We are the bride of Christ, the church of Christ. We're His body on this earth. We're going to be caught up one day soon, hopefully very soon. We're going to meet Him in the air. We're going to be going through the judgment seat of Christ. Our works are going to be purified. They're going to be burned off. The hay, wood, and stubble is going to disappear. The gold, silver, and precious stones, which reflect His righteousness, will be the righteousness of His bride. That purification process, getting ready for the wedding, getting ready for that marriage. Praise the Lord. You're bought with a price and you're promised to the King. You're promised to the Son. Amen. The marriage of the Lamb. Look at verse 9. And He saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, it's going to be an event. The Lord Jesus Christ, His bride uniting saints from different dispensations at that marriage supper. Could you imagine the Old Testament saints? Daniel, Elijah, Moses, Noah, Samuel, David, sitting there saying, there's Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, and His bride. Just testifying to the amazing grace of God as they see the bride and the groom united. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, it's going to be a time. Old people get together today. They have a marriage ceremony. They have a ceremony afterwards. They might eat and break bread together. And you know, talk about things and have a good time of fellowship or whatever. But boy, it's nothing like it's going to happen in the future, because when Jesus Christ gets the bride that He earned and deserved, that only He could have earned and deserved, He paid the price for that bride. He gave His life for His bride. And when that union happens, oh, it's going to be a day, and oh, there's going to be some magnifying and glorifying of Jesus Christ, not just by the bride as she blushes at the standing and looking at her amazing groom, but by the guests at that wedding ceremony that will lift up their voice and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, King of kings, Lord of lords, husband of husbands." Amen. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Verse 10. "And I fell at His feet to worship Him." Talking about the messenger. "And He said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." We see the messenger of the Lamb. You know what the messenger of the Lamb says? No, it's not about me. It's about Him. It's not about me. It's not about me glorying in me or me, my works or my flesh or my message even. It's about who the message is focused on. The message itself is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The message is King of kings, Lord of lords, husband of husbands. The message is God Almighty stepped down from heaven, walked this sin-cursed earth, wept without sin, marching to Calvary, became sin for us, shed His blood, God's blood, according to Acts 20:28, died, was buried, dropped off our sin debt in hell, came back out of that grave with victory over death, hell, and the grave, to live forevermore so you and I could have eternal life in Christ. The messenger of the Lamb says, don't look at me, don't worship me, look at Him. Look at the Lamb. Look at verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God." The return of the Lord. Oh, He came the first time. Lowly Jesus, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, in burial garments from His birth, heading to Calvary to die for our sins. And He came to offer peace and love and forgiveness. But He's coming back, not as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, but as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, to take control, to judge, to mete out judgment, that people may reap what they've sown, nations may reap what they've sown, as they've sown against God's chosen people. The return of the Lord. He's coming back. He's coming back. It's not going to be the politicians of this world that fix that thing. It's not going to be the United Nations that finally brings some form of righteous judgment and truth. It's going to be the way, the truth, and the life on a white horse that brings back judgment, that is righteousness, that is truth. He is truth. He is God's righteousness. And He's coming back. Oh, this world better prepare. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you'll miss the rapture. You won't go out. You won't go through the judgment seat of Christ, the purifying process. and be at that wedding, but you'll be here on this earth when he comes back after, at the end of that great tribulation time, after the devil's had his way with this place, the Lord comes back and takes control with a rod of iron for 1,000 years on the throne of David. The return of the Lord. Look at verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We see the armies of the Lord. Yeah, we're coming back with him. Hey, we're not going to be sitting around up in heaven watching soap operas waiting for our husband to come back. Amen. What we're going to do is we're going to come back with him. Paul says, when we leave this place, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to come back on white horses, and we're going to watch our leader, our captain of our salvation, Lord of lords, King of kings, the captain of everything that's good and true and right. We're going to watch him with a sword coming out of his mouth defeat the enemy and then take his throne that the devil's been messing with since Genesis chapter number 3. He's going to take it back. He's going to rule and reign and judge righteous judgment for 1,000 years on the throne of David. And we'll be with him. Verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. We're going to see the power of the Lord. The return of the Lord, the armies of the Lord, we're going to see the power of the Lord. Because the devil's going to gather his minions, he's going to gather his people together, his army, to take on Jesus Christ. Captain Jesus, amen. The author and finisher of our faith, the captain of our salvation. The Word of God. And we're going to see them gather against Jesus Christ. And he defeats them. How does he do it? I believe it's the Word of God. He comes back on a white horse, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. A sharp two-edged sword. His Word will defeat the devil. Look at verse 20. And we'll see the judgment of the enemies of the Lord. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. The judgment of the enemy. The judgment of the enemies will be with God's sword. I'm telling you, it's the Word of God. Man might make light of it now, The devil might try to mess with it. The devil might try to get you to not believe the Word of God, to not understand the power of God. Science must, in its own falsely so-called setting, try to explain away the Word of God, to pretend there is no Word of God, to take shots at the Word of God, the people of God, to diminish from the truth of the power of God and the power of His Word, the power of His blood. The power of His mercy, His grace, and His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. His power to create in Genesis 1. His power to save in John 3. His power to keep in Ephesians 4:30. In John 10:30. And on down the line. And His power to judge and to punish and to renew. The glory of the Lord, the judgment by the Lord, the worshiping of the Lord, the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the messenger of the Lamb. Look at Him. Look at Him. Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up in the earth, will draw all men to Me. The return of the Lord, He's coming back. The armies of the Lord, we're coming with Him. The power of the Lord, He's going to fight the devil, the beast, the false prophet, all these things. He's going to fight these forces and all the armies that they bring. And the judgment on the enemy will be brought swiftly by the Word of God. Word of God. Are you ready? Prepare yourself by putting your faith in the finished work of the Word of God, Jesus Christ. By repenting, sinner, and calling on Him before it's too late. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And by studying, meditating on and reading His Word until He calls us home. Build your faith so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And walk in faith so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Live by faith so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And be willing to die by faith so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Open God's book and ask Him to open your heart and use you for His honor and for His glory. He's going to call us out. Saint, be ready. In the moment, the twinkling of an eye, will be changed to be like Him. Sinner, get ready, because He's coming back. He's coming back. And that sword you reject now will judge you, proceeding out of the mouth of Almighty God. Father, bless this message. Help us to love You more. Draw us near You. We know that You are the answer, and Your Word is what we need to carry us forward. Help us, strengthen us, come get us soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.